The 86th episode of the Hondo Handy Podcast is brought to you by Residence Inn by Marriott, your journey to an unforgettable stay in Ocean City at their hotel, located at 300 Seabay Lane. Call 410-723-2222 or find them on the web at residenceinoc.com. My guest today is Keith Weathernot, General Manager of Residence Inn by Marriott in Ocean City. How you doing today, Keith?
I'm well, Hondo. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Glad to have you on again.
That's exciting. I'm glad to be able to do it with you.
Yes. Keith, tell my listeners a little bit about how things have been going with you and how Residence Inn is doing in Ocean City.
We're very, very blessed. You know, we consider it the Lord's answer, a lot of prayers for us. We're doing very well. We had a phenomenal 2022 in all aspects. Our team continues to grow. It's a great organization to work for. We work for, I tell anybody to listen, we work for the best owners in the hotel business in the whole world, especially in Ocean City. Rich Palmer, Barry Gosnell, and Brian Cook, the best guys in the world. So we're grateful we work for them. But yeah, we've done great. We've had a lot of our people here grow and move on and get bigger jobs. So that's kind of what, you know, it's kind of what our goal is here, is to help people develop, get better. And, you know, I like that. We'll end up talking about a little bit, but, you know, I like that Nick Saban style organizational structure where you just grow them until you can't grow them anymore. And then they
Alabama.
Roll Tide, baby. I love the way, you know, always been a fan, but you know, I follow so much the way he, the way Coach Saban. The reason why he's successful is the way he sets up his organization, and I think that really transcends and, you know, applies to every realm, business, anything you do.
Well, your hotel is certainly in a great spot coming up behind the bridge there to your right, and great views from just about every room you have.
Oh, we love it. I mean, we have the most phenomenal spot in Ocean City. The best part about it is people don't realize once you get back down to Seabay Lane, it's really quiet back here. You avoid all the noise. There's no hustle and bustle of the boardwalk. It's peace. It's quiet. It's secluded, and everything you can need is right around the corner. So it's a balance of both worlds.
Yes. And that bay from the view from the bay is excellent also.
Oh, well, yeah, the sunset, like we always said, the sunset's waiting there for you. The sunrise makes you work for it. So, you know, those wintertime sunsets are even, believe it or not, more beautiful than the summer. So it's an amazing spot to be in.
I certainly know that firsthand as we've stayed there a number of times and continue to do so, my wife and I.
We like to say we're Honda's favorite spot.
I agree.
I'll take it.
Keith, you were on with me before, and we established that you were a star at the Ocean City Youth Basketball League when you were playing.
Right.
including that memorable moment that you had when you blocked Cordray Brittingham's shot as he was going up for a basket.
Yeah.
But you've been involved with all kinds of sport, track and field, wrestling in high school with Steve Decatur, and even becoming a pro wrestler and being featured in Pro Wrestlers Illustrated. Tell my listeners why you have the love for Alabama football so much.
My dad's from Birmingham, born and raised. So my whole family's from down there. And so... Okay. I had no choice. At birth, and still got the pictures of me and my baby clothes with my Alabama shirt on. So I had, I'm glad I had no choice. My dad is the sweetest, kindest, nicest old Southern man. If you meet him today, you'll just he's still got his Alabama accent.
And, oh my God.
But you know, he grew up on Bear Bryant, and
okay.
And if you know college football in the South, you know, pro football's big up north, but there's nothing compared to college football down South, and whoever you're allegiant to, from Georgia to Auburn to Alabama, it runs deep, and it's a culture down there. So I was fortunate to have, you know, my dad loved Alabama. I grew up loving Alabama. And what we're living through right now is kind of it's the greatest era of college football for our team anyway, and for them to do the things that they do, even though they lost the championship game last week, it's amazingly impressive when a coach sets up an organizational structure that can last that long and be that fruitful for that long with all the changes and the way the game changed and how things last week that was Mars and Young juniors and basically a second team almost won the national championship against a Georgia team that was just, it just destroyed everybody. So, you know, it's a passionate thing. If you ever go to a college football game, I'm sure you said you've been to Clemson games. It's just kind of the same vibe. It's just a different atmosphere.
Yes, Clemson, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, they're all
the atmosphere is, it's so great. If you, the only thing in the pro game I think you could equate it to is probably going to a Ravens game. Ravens fans are that passionate and set that kind of environment. And it's just, you know, it's you have to experience it one time to really understand it.
Well, what did you think about that national championship game?
Oh, man, I cried for days.
I know.
The first time around, we got them. I was surprised that we did. We were all expecting that. Like I said, they're young. They were so young, those guys out there. But the first time they laid the hammer down on Georgia, and it's hard to do it twice. And it's hard to do it when you lose your two of the top wide receivers in college football, and then you lose half your offensive line and have one running back left.
But
they hung in. And the fact that they hung in the way they did, and the defense stepped up, and I think next year is going to be a revenge tour because what they bring back is just ferocious. And yeah, I'm a nerd. I follow all the recruiting, and the past two recruiting classes have been, last year's was the greatest of all time. And then this year it is top two behind A&M, which they have the greatest class now, but I trust Coach Saban. And you know, it's like being a Yankees fan. Everybody hates us now. They hate Alabama. But just like I said, just enjoy it. I'm just going to enjoy it while it lasts because it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that one wide receiver had just caught that fantastic pass from Young, and then he pulled up injured.
So Jameson Williams,
That was a big setback. And they were really rolling in the.
They were. He's a burner, and he would have made a difference. That's the best. I think the best thing about him is they found him in the wide receiver room over at Ohio State, just sitting on the bench doing nothing, and they knew how talented he was, and he transferred over to Bama, and you know, Ohio State has an incredible wide receiver room, but as a guy that we made use of at Bama, he prospered. He's going to be a first round pick, even though he tore his ACL.
Talking about transferring, what do you think about the transfer portal of all the different players?
I think it's fair. I think it needs to be controlled. I think there needs to be – I listen to a lot of sports talk radio, and you get into the NFL, and it's – they manage everything in a timetable and a time frame, and they should do the same thing with college football. Manage your NIL deals, manage your transfer portal down to a time frame instead of having a guy – get frustrated and angry and say, I'm going to go get in the transfer portal all day. And all times of year, I don't think if you're leading an organization and you have to try to make sense of, you know, your 125 players you have to manage and you don't have a time frame to manage it to, it's probably, you know, a little bit of chaos and throws leadership into, you know, throws a wrench into things. I can't imagine how it is to appease we have about 125 people here in the summer, so appeasing 125 people can be difficult. But you know, you have to manage a lot of personalities and manage a lot of expectations. You know, you bring a freshman in, he's been a superstar his whole life in college and burned everybody. Okay. He's got to realize, oh, I'm at the next level now, and I have to learn things. And there's things that I could do physically that would get me by before, but now I have to go learn the mental aspect of the game and the intricacies and technique and. Some of them, you know, that's where they learn their patience or they run away, you know.
Then they've done that.
Right. Yeah. You know, you're a coach.
Yeah,
that's coaching.
It's really tough in college when you go to college and you were a top athlete coming out of high school. And I've always wondered, in football why they have so many players. I mean, they have so many players. Some of them just are not going to get to play. But it's an honor to be on the team, you know. But,
yeah. You know, I have some buddies I went to college with, but that was 20-some years ago. But I went to college in North Alabama, but a couple of them transferred to Alabama and ended up playing practice squad, and because we were D2, but they transferred to Bama. They played practice squad, and then, you know, they got into a couple games after 5 years in, and all they wanted to do was just say they played at Alabama. Right. And it's, you know, when you're an athlete at that level, and I don't know, that's when you find out if the guys, they're tenacious enough. Like a guy like Mac Jones last year, he sat around for 4 years behind Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, waiting for his chance.
Yeah.
And most guys won't do that now. But then he went out last year, and if it wasn't for the season Devontae Smith put up, he'd have won the Heisman. And he had the greatest statistical quarterback year ever. And, you know, it's learning to be patient, and while you're in that role, growing. I think, you know, you've probably done it in your career. I had to do it in my career. I had to sit and wait and be patient. And I didn't know how much I didn't know until I went to work at the Hyatt for a guy named Vince Stefanzo. He taught me everything I could ever know, because I thought I knew a lot. And then when I sat with him, I realized I don't know anything.
Yeah, patience is a tough virtue to try to, you know, suck it up and wait your turn.
Right. Seize your opportunity.
Yep. Well, how about the NFL? What do you think about did you say you got a chance to watch the Bengals and the Raiders game?
I did. That game was all over. Well, that game was all over the place. It was hard to keep up with. And the Bengals finally took away with it. But the NFL has been confusing this year. I can't make sense of it at all.
I know. So many teams in the playoff race too.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get in the NFL. And some of the teams that made the playoffs, you're like, how'd they get here? And
right.
But now's where you start to find who shows it. Joe Burrow, he's legit. And him and Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. They're showing out.
They definitely are. Of course, you know, Tampa Bay and the Eagles, they won 31-15.
That was heartbreaking. Yes, I'm not an Eagles fan by any stretch, but I was watching. I'm sitting here rooting for Jalen and Devonta.
Right.
And as Jalen, I was like, come on, man, just pull it out.
Let's get together.
Right. I watched him for 3 years at Bama, and the one thing that guy is he's a winner. What he did against he had the national championship won against Clemson that second time they played him, until the defense faltered at the end. But he when he walked off the field, he had a 7-point lead, and then with a minute left. And then what he did against Georgia when Tua got hurt, came back and put 21 points on the board in the fourth quarter. The guy's a winner, and he's humble and he's determined. And I love that about him. And it's like, it'll take him a little while, but it's like, somebody give this guy a chance, let him develop. He will go out there, and he's a strongly determined individual. He's a silent leader. And I love watching him. Seeing him do well would be great.
And I almost forgot about that. That's right. They were both Alabama players.
Yeah. They're all over the place.
And then we had the Bills and the Patriots. I think the Bills won 47-17.
Yeah.
It was probably over a little early.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you probably learn Belichick's still working his way back up. That team got decimated last year with all the losses they had. And then they still need to find – they don't have an outside wide receiving threat that can – torch the field and open things up for Mac. You got a couple of really strong tight ends. You got a litany of running backs, but you don't have a burner on the outside anywhere. You got a bunch of possession guys. So if you can't stretch the field, your ability to move the ball is kind of, you know, mitigated. And the defense the past couple of weeks, it's been a hard time because they were so staunch for so long this year. They had all those games in a row where they weren't allowing anything. And the past few weeks, it's like they've, you know, just completely broken.
Yeah. They were very good for a while. I think, and then a lot of heartbreaks around here was seeing the Cowboys lose to the 49ers.
I mean, a lot. That game was all over the place because
yeah.
I, was, I'm a old school Washington fan, but so it's natural for me to hate the Cowboys. But I was sitting there watching that game. Actually, for some reason, I started rooting for them because they were making this crazy comeback, and
underdogs.
Yeah, they became the underdog. But it shows you how good San Francisco is. San Francisco plays in a really tough division, but they're like San Francisco is old school, smash mouth, run you over on both sides of the ball football. And if they ended up probably facing off against Green Bay, that game's going to be smash mouth heaven.
Yes, because, Garoppolo, I don't think he threw that much because their running game was real good. And I think Zach ended up throwing a whole lot more than he wanted to.
Well, Garoppolo's got this thing going because they were up pretty comfortably, and then he started doing a Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Threw a pick.
Throwing a couple away.
I think he might have fumbled. He got lucky on one that was an incomplete pass, but it was going to be a fumble. So yeah. I think I got one guy here that works with us. He's a diehard Niners fan, and he's just waiting for Trey Lance to take over.
It's going to happen sometime, but Garoppolo, he played well enough to win. That's all you needed.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Don't pull a Trent Dilfer, that's all you do. Be good enough to win.
And then, of course, we had the Chiefs and the Steelers.
I didn't get to see that game because I go to bed at 8 o'clock. I heard the Chiefs ran away with it.
Yeah, they did. It was, Big Ben, he battled to the end. So that's, kind of felt bad for him towards the end because that was going to be probably his last game. But, the Chiefs really turned it on early.
Well, the Chiefs have been winning all year this year with, everybody said how great their offense was for years, and it has been great, but this year their defense has been the thing that's kept them alive. And when for some reason, maybe you can diagnose it because you're a coach, but for some reason Mahomes went through a slump this year that was just unfathomable. I'd see him throw balls he was throwing balls to different zip codes that his receivers were in. So for God, he's so talented, it's perplexing as to why he was struggling.
I think a couple games there, I think one team decided they were going to double team, the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he had to kind of throw underneath
They were
double teaming. I don't know how they figured that out, but it must have been the running game got him back playing honest defense.
But yeah, he went a couple games without Clyde Edwards-Helaire being there, and that guy is like a pinball. Right. He reminds me a lot of Mark Ingram, just – bull through the line, bounce off people, and get you 13, 17 yards without a problem. And playing without that support, it's got to be kind of difficult.
Yeah, their running back last night was really good, though. So they're going to have some good depth there. When I think he's coming back this week, Clyde.
Was it Clyde? Did Derek Gore play last night? Is that him?
No, can't think of his name. Number one, he was really, really fast.
Yeah. He's got so many weapons there. He's got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman.
Oh, they're all fast.
Yeah, he's got guys everywhere.
Give me your pick tonight. I know you don't probably follow these two teams between the Cardinals and the Rams.
I can't pick that game. They've played each other twice in the past couple months, and logically, the Cardinals shouldn't lose because Murray's got so much. That guy's phenomenal. You can't catch him. He's got a rifle for an arm. He was going to be the shortstop for the Oakland Athletics. He's so good.
Isn't that something?
I know. I wish he'd pull a Bo Jackson and play both sports. But he's got weapons everywhere. He's got some of the best wide. I think DeAndre Hopkins is still out. If he's in, that's a different game. But the Rams can't make any sense of them either because their defense should be completely dominant. Yet at times they completely falter. In my head, talent wise, I would pick Arizona, but they haven't answered the call lately, so I would think the Rams.
Yeah, can't really predict them this year.
You can't. Every time he predicts, I'm glad I don't gamble.
Yeah.
It's the complete opposite way of expectation.
Again, I know you've had a lot of memories in sports, but not sure if I asked you this before, but do you have any sports memory, favorite memory to share?
Favorite memory is when I participated in or when I
– Yes.
Oh, participated in. I have a bunch. If you call professional wrestling a sport, that's how I assimilate my life to, because I spent so much time doing it.
Yeah, of course, that's a good one.
The time I was able to be on TV for WWE was a highlight, because I remember being just like, I got to work for them probably between, I don't know, 12 to 15 times, but I only had, and I was in skits. Got to be in a skit with The Undertaker and CM Punk, and I got to be in skits with The Big Show. I was in a skit with Vince McMahon, just kind of fun stuff. And when you go there, you get to try out during the day. And so I'm wrestling in the ring with Randy Orton and just guys at that time, who were at the top of their game. But when I was growing up, man, I loved the Macho Man. I loved Macho Man Randy Savage. And the girl, I love when the folks at work get tired of me doing that impersonation all day long. But anyway, Macho Man and Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. I grew up watching that, and I always wanted to do it. And I never thought – I wrestled in high school at Decatur. I was like – I never thought I'd be able to do that, and then I did it. And so wrestling teaches you that you have a level of toughness and determination you didn't know you had. So when I decided that I got wild hair, I'm going to go learn to be a pro wrestler, and I got to be trained by Jay and Mark Briscoe, who are like two of the best guys in the world still to this day. I never thought – I was like, I'll get to wrestle, maybe I'll get to WWE. But when it actually happened, and I remember just walking – I swear I walked out through the curtain, and it was in Richmond at the Richmond Coliseum. And there's 15,000 people packed for a SmackDown show. And just looking up, like, just that moment, you're like, oh, my gosh, this is actually happening.
Am I really there?
I'm here. And then you think, and you dial out for a second because you got a job to go do. So just stay focused in the moment on, what task I accomplish, what I have to do. Go out here and listen to my opponent and do what he asked me to do and make sure I do it excellently. And at the end of it, just – it's soaking it up, because like you never know if you'll get to do it again. I didn't get to do it again. I mean, I got to wrestle in front of a lot of large crowds before, but not 15,000 people on worldwide TV. And that was my favorite sports moment, because you just soak it up and it's like, this is the coolest thing ever. I remember talking to my dad the next day. I drove home and I'm sitting there. I'm talking to my dad having lunch, and I was like, I was in front of 15,000 people last night. and now I'm sitting here with you eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he gave me a hard time. Like, I remember when I first told him, I was probably 20 or 21. I left college. I was an idiot. I left college. I was like, I was studying journalism. I was like, I want to be a professional wrestler. He looked at me. He's like, you have lost your mind. What are you doing? You're throwing your life away. but in that moment, after I was, when I was having lunch with him that day, he looked at me. He said, he's like, all right. He's like, I gave you a hard time, but you did a good job. And he finally, he's like, you did good. And I was like, all right, thank you. He never thought anything would come of it. And it's I learned more about doing my job today in the wrestling business, marketing, promotion, working with people, dealing with people, managing difficult situations. I learned more doing professional wrestling than I could have ever learned in college. And it applies to this day to everything I do. So 15 years of it totally paid off.
Well, that was my next question. Maybe you have a little bit to add to it. I was going to ask you to tell me how sports has impacted your life.
That definitely has. I formed a lot. It teaches you especially how important relationships are in everything. If you're a businessman, the one thing you learn is that you have a great relationship with everybody, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they know it or not. have a great relationship with every person you come in contact with, because you never know when you'll see them down the road, when your services can complement each other. So I learned that in wrestling. I got most of everything I accomplished was through relationships. Talent will get you to a certain point, and your performance will get you to a certain point. But if you don't have strong relationships, I had a strong relationship with the guy that owns Maryland Championship Wrestling, Dan McDevitt, and they're the biggest independent promoter in the country. And they put guys in WWE all the time. Well, Dan and I have had a strong relationship for 20 years. And if opportunities come up, he calls me. I had a strong relationship with a guy out of ECWA, Jim Kettner. He worked for WWE in their booking office. My opportunities in WWE because I had a great relationship with him, and he would call me. So you can be great, but if people don't like you, you're in a bad place. Everything I think is just based on relationships and the skills I picked up doing it. Like I said, I learned how to market. I learned how to promote. Half of our social media is us engaging our guests and our customers with the personalities here in the hotel. We have a lot of great personalities. We like to show them off, because if you come to a hotel, your room accommodations are one thing. But if you're engaging with somebody at the front desk or in management or breakfast, anywhere, housekeeping, you know, if you have great relationships with these people that want to make sure you have a great stay, you're more than likely to come back. So, you know, so much learning.
Keith, tell me, what would you tell a young kid about following their dreams?
I have one, so I talk to him all the time. He's tired of listening to me, though. and I also have to make sure I have to edit myself. I have to make sure there are his dreams and not mine. But I don't know. One thing I learned, I didn't kind of have these realizations until I got older, but if you're a kid and you have a tangible dream, something you want to accomplish, start researching the ways to take the steps in order to get there. Everything you do is, you know, you can have the grand goal, but if you don't have the list of steps along the way to accomplish the goal, it's going to be harder for you to get there. You know, you can say, I want to build a house, and that's great, but you did have the steps. Okay, well, I need to have the step of, how do I go about applying for permits? How do I go get the best price on lumber? How do I go get, you know, hire the right guy to do my plumbing? You know, research and, you know, almost consume yourself with the steps involved, and that makes things seem much more achievable. You don't just have this grand dream. If you break it out into steps, it's a more achievable thing. And then as you'll run into problems and challenges along the way, but as you overcome each one, next time that comes to you, it's not a problem. You know how to handle it. And right. You know, embracing every challenge that comes along the way, you know, it's cliche, but every challenge is an opportunity. And every time you encounter it, well, all it does is prepare you for the next time you have to deal with it, and you've got a resolution for it. So I just think breaking things down, making them step by step, one grandiose goal becomes an achievable goal.
Like you did when you followed your dreams to become a pro wrestler.
I threw caution to the wind on that one. I did not do it that way. I kind of did, but I didn't. It's like if I could do it over again, I know what to do now. I know where I should have gone. We were lucky. Like I mentioned, this guy, Dan McDevitt, and, we were lucky that he was around, because initially when we first got into wrestling, we went to a school in Salisbury, and it was run by this guy. He was a con artist. He just rolled into town, said he used to wrestle as the Assassin in Georgia. And he threw a ring up in the Salisbury Mall and took thousands of dollars from us, got in a ring, tried to teach us to know. He was teaching us wrong the whole time. We didn't know any better. He rolled out of town, disappeared in the middle of the night with our money, like the Baltimore Colts. And we were just left with a wrestling ring in the Salisbury Mall and didn't know what to do. And then along came Dan and this guy, Mark Schrader. They own Maryland Championship Wrestling. They heard about what happened and they're like, we'll train you. You know, we had to pay our dues and we had to pay to learn. But we were lucky we were in a position. Somebody came along, saw what we're dealing with, and they saved us on it. But there was nobody better to learn from, and they set us on the right path. So, you know, if I learned anything by steps on that one, is that's the relationship thing. That's right. Knowing the right people and having them care enough to, they saw monetary opportunity, sure, but they also saw the chance to develop their next wave of talent for their promotion. So, you know, yeah, a lot of going back and doing it over again and rethinking the steps. I would have done it a different way, a more succinct way, but still learned a lot.
Worked out for you.
Totally.
Keith, you know, I'm a proponent of good sportsmanship. So what role would you say good sportsmanship plays in youth sports?
I think youth sports is a development level of where you develop an appreciation for your opponent, their talent, and their ability. And if you can mentally digest the fact that you're facing off against somebody that's equally and take that as a challenge and try to meet that, you know, whether you win, whether you lose, you know, 100% full effort in everything, you got to appreciate the fact, you know, you went out and played a basketball game, and if you got beat, you got beat. Through, you know, and accept defeat with dignity. And, you know, exactly. It does not thwart the effect that, you know, you want to go out there and destroy them the next time, or you learn something from it. You learned how you can improve and go out there and, you know, play with a better technique, passion, or strategy than you should have the first time. Nobody wants to engage the guy that's a sore loser, because it's kind of indicative of their personality. And, you know, if you're dealing with a sore loser, are you dealing with a guy that put in the effort that he needed to succeed anyway? You know, so I just think, you know, embrace the fact that you give it your all and give credit to the person that you either beat or beat you.
That's right. No bullying is necessary.
No. Nobody wants to be that guy.
That's right. Keith, do you have any hobbies? Are you a golfer?
A terrible one.
Any other hobbies?
I played golf in college. I had golf. And my professor, kind of a professor, golf coach, called me sleepy because I fell asleep in golf class. my hobbies now. It was 8 o'clock in the morning golf class, Hondo. I wasn't the guy I am now.
Must have been practical. You were learning some terms.
Right, exactly. Our textbook was Golf for Dummies, so that was that thing. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
But, my hobbies now, I'm in the gym every morning at 4:45, and I can't, if you can call it a hobby, I think it's starting my day the right way. I work out every morning. I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. I work out for 2 hours, about 4:45 to 6:45, starts my day right. And I get home, I spend a lot of time in a Bible study and with church, trying to make that, you know, a core. And I think church, you know, my Christian faith, has to be the core part of my life. So I'm at that stage, you know, now. Yeah. I'm trying to work on that more than anything. And other than that, getting outside with my dog and my kid, big into trail walking. We discovered these trails behind my house. I live out in the Pocomoke Forest, and
you got all kinds of trails down there.
Oh man, it's great. And I found this undiscovered trail that is owned by the Nature Conservancy out of DC, and they didn't know about it. Well, they knew about it, but they forgot about it. So it wasn't marked. So I'm like, emailed them trying to figure out, you know, what do you know about this? And they were perplexed, like, what are you talking about? I eventually got them to sit. They found it. They sent me a map. So I'm out exploring that all the time. And I just like being outside, and I'll surf in the summer pretty terribly. Get in the water. But a lot of the day is consumed by work. So you know, I'm pretty open to anything once work's done, just being outside.
Well, Keith, congratulations on all your work you've done with your staff at Residence Inn by Marriott in Ocean City. And certainly a beautiful hotel. And is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I appreciate you having me come on. I don't know who's going to want to listen to me talk about Alabama football, but I love talking about it. So thanks for talking.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, man. I talk college football all day long. No, thank you for all you do. Thank you for, you've always been a huge advocate for us and for the team here and for the hotel. And we're grateful, you know, everybody in this town has known you since we were all kids. So you've seen generations of us go through, our kids, our parents, kids. So,
a beautiful thing though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're connected to so many generations throughout this county. It's crazy. So just thank you for all you do. And thank you for the support you've given us.
Well, on that note, Keith, I guess we'll bring our podcast to an end. The 86th episode of the Hondo Handy Podcast has been brought to you by Residence Inn by Marriott. Your general, located at 300 Seabay Lane. Call 410-723-2222 or find them on the web at residenceinoc.com. My guest today has been Keith Wisenot, General Manager of Residence Inn by Marriott in Ocean City. Remember, Keith, if you think you can, you can. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Honda.
Stay safe and keep smiling.
You too.
Bye.